Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, coming to you with my partner, Bill Gooden, and our co-host, Satawi Jahi. And right now, we have brother all the way from Panama with us this evening, Brother Ross Buki, and there will be others joining us as we move forward. And I would like to thank those who are on Facebook Live, also on Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to the podcast. Now, before we get started, I would always like to have my partner come on to share a little informative information so that we can start our podcast off right. Brother Satawi Jahi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. As we do each and every time we come on these airwaves, I'd like to do a reading from Daily Motivations for African-American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who also wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which is a prescription for eliminating poverty in our family and our family lines. And reading for the night. November 28th. Every day that dawns is a reason to say thank you, Father. Juanita Cole, president of Spelman College. Let's face it, there are times when even the best of us get depressed, times when we feel emotionally bankrupt, times when nothing seems to work out, times when we feel like packing our suitcase and going somewhere to forget everything and everybody, times when pep talks from friends don't even help, times when we feel empty. During these troubling moments, when we begin to search for the source of our depression, we begin to devalue ourselves and list all things we cannot do. Quote, I cannot find a job. I can't lose weight. I can't get motivated. I can't finish school. I can't start my business. I can't stop smoking. I can't quit drinking. I can't shake this cold. I can't understand my children. I can't communicate with my parents. I can't stand my boss. I can't get over my grief. I can't take the racism anymore. Our hearts are torn. No matter how hard we try, we can't find a way to replenish our strength, to uplift our spirits, to overcome our depression. Behold, there's a way. There's a way to empower ourselves to end this confusion and regain our inner strength and tranquility. There's a way to quiet the storms. The answer is prayer. Prayer is the cornerstone where the weary rest and the dismayed find hope. Prayer is our opportunity to communicate with the source of all inspiration, the fountain of all wisdom. Prayer is the only way we can turn our negatives into positives. It's a remedy that cures the Great Depression. Today I will pray daily. I will affirm my good and give thanks. I also like to read from the Hosea, the sacred wisdom of ancient Egypt. This is from the book of Ptahotep. Share with your friends that which you have, for that which is yours is a gift of God. Those who fail to share with their friends are shunned by having a selfish soul. Although people might plan for tomorrow, they do not know what will come to pass. But it is righteousness by which people are sustained. Therefore, if misfortune comes and you have been righteous with your friends will welcome you. Peace will not be found in a city where friends are forgotten and their needs are not answered. And that's so true. You know, we make sure we always share with our friends and be able to move on and continue to grow. So those are the two reasons I have for tonight. And I'm turning it back over to you, David.
I appreciate that, sir. And again, I want to welcome all of those who are on board with us. Brother Vernon Street has just joined us. And greetings, Vernon. And so we're going to get started because I'm not going to hold you long this evening. Now, I come to you this evening because I want to talk to you about communications. And most of you know, well, it was told to me. I've read it on many different occasions that before the earth even began, God spoke it into existence. And so that's a form of communication. And since then, things have evolved. I remember the beating of the drum was a form of communication. And then they, you know, evolved into telegraph and Pony Express and, you know, and everything else, telephone, television, internet, cell phones, all forms of communication. And, but, you know, communication, as I just mentioned, comes in many forms and many ways. And I just want to take you on a small journey. Now, just in my own personal life, I'm 71 years old. And ever since I can remember, I used to listen to the radio. And it had such an impression on me at that time. And it still does, because it kind of formed my opinion about music. And then television. And, of course, I've seen all types of images, you know, especially back in those days, you know, I've seen negative images of people who look like me. And so that had an impression on me. And then as time went on, you know, we start getting modernization. Then we used to have these things called transistor radios that you can carry with you everywhere you go. We can listen to our music and listen to the DJs. The next thing you know, we start having these things called, I forgot the name of the little thing, the little button where people hit it, and then you call them back. And everything from movies, television, cell phones. And most people look at me now and you wonder why I'm crazy as I am now, because all of them forms of communication have impacted my life, as well as yours. If you're living, you have been impacted. And most forms of communication, I always say, you know, communication is such a powerful tool. I mean, extremely powerful, because it can persuade people. It can influence you to do this and influence you to do that. You see on the news that somebody gave somebody an impression that they go around and kill multitudes of people. That's how much they've been, their minds have been penetrated. But on a mass scale, I always talk about propaganda, how powerful it is. You know, even in World War II and World War I, you know, because intelligence, when they even tried to invade each other communications, and some say that's helped us win the war, you know, because we were able to penetrate some of their intelligence. But I want to get to today something very dear to me, and that is us, black people, how communication has, you know, affected us. And most importantly, how it's affecting our children. And I have children, I have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And I've seen how different generations, how, you know, like I say, how communication affects people, even from the music we listen to. Now they start sending out what I call subliminal messages, not only in our music, radio, TV, and everything else, messages going all across the place. Our school system, what we are being taught, all of this stuff has massive information that penetrates us. But I want to talk to you all tonight. I want y'all help on this because, you know, I'm in communications. And since we started the National Black Unity News, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Gooden is on here with me. And he and I started this publication about 5 or 6 years ago. And it started because of communication. He said to me one day, Dave, you know, you need to start up another paper. And after careful prayer and consideration, I gave up on the idea of publishing. But here we are. So we did it. And here we are today. It went national, and now the way things are going, we're about to go international. And because we are doing communication, it comes with some responsibility, even though others take it and use it for weapons of mass destruction. I'm just leaving it like that. Because of communication or lack of it, a lot of us are in such bondage mentally and spiritually. that I don't know where this thing going to end, but I do know we can combat it. And that's one of the reasons for the National Black Unity Meets. Because like I just said about my own personal life, I have been indoctrinated with so much negative things about me, who I am, who I'm supposed to be. But, you know, hopefully with most of us, as we grow older, hopefully we get wiser, hopefully we start doing research and trying to seek truth. And the truth is that I don't think personally that nobody's better than anybody else. But I do know each and every individual on it that I'm talking to right now, you know, you have a choice, and the choice, you can go this way or that way, you can read, you can study, you can do a lot of things for yourself, but that's a choice you have to make. But I'm really concerned about the information that's coming our way, even the information that we're giving to each other. Because unfortunately, mass communication, those who control it, oftentimes use us to communicate to us their messages, and they're doing a very good job at it. But in any case, I want to talk about right now, you know, I'm going to open up the line for, you know, discussion about this thing called communication and its many forms and high effects. Hey, Bill Gooden, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. Now, Bill, you know, me and you talk about a lot of things, you know, we communicate. But you told me something, you know, one time, something that affected you, you know, personally, and it was a form of communication. It was a book. And can you explain to me how back in your time, how this book kind of alternate, you know, trying to change your thought and your way of thinking?
Well, yeah, I can. And, you know, thank you for
that. To an automated voice messaging system. 8.
Can you hear me, Dave?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you for even asking.
5, 9,
I told you,
4.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, like I say, when I went to school, I didn't have no interest in school, man. I mean, I was, listen, if they ever said who was the dumbest person in class, everybody already pointed to Bill Gooden. So I didn't have no interest in school. But anyway, when I went to high school, I was in 9th grade. And I used to go just laying my head down. My homeroom teacher, lady named Miss Torinsky, old German woman, brought me a book. It was Black Boy by Richard Wright. And I don't know, man, what made me read that book. But once I read that book, it opened me up to wanting to read. At that point, I still didn't have interest in school, but I started going to the library every week, man, trying to find all the Black books I could find and all the Black authors I could find. So it definitely had an impact on me because I think that, you know, reading, it really probably saved my life because it opened me up to a whole new world. That, you know, because once you read, even if you physically can't go places sometimes, once you identify what you're reading, then it's taking you somewhere. So, yeah, I say Richard Wright definitely had an impact on my life and made me want to read and even made me want to write. So, yes, like you said, communications is powerful, man, you know, and how you touch people, sometimes you just never know. I never met Richard Ryan. He don't know he touched me, you know, but I thank him for what he gave to me, because if he hadn't gave it to me, then I probably wouldn't be who I am today.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. You know, hold on, because I just want to start this conversation. Mr. Mike Haney, how you doing today, sir?
Hey, David, good to see you, man. Good to see you. Good to see Bill, Vernon, everybody, man. And I apologize for been kind of crazy the past couple of weeks, man, but it's good to be here, man.
Yeah, it's always good to be anyway, I'll be honest. But, yeah, you know, I appreciate you. Look, I was happened to be on your podcast last night. And see, Michael Haney deals with media himself, but he also deals with hospitality, another form of communication too. And he has personally been through a lot of stuff himself, you know, the way people communicated to him and how he had to deal with a lot of stuff. So, Mike, our discussion there just talking about communication is many forms, how it affects us, how it affected you, and how it's affecting our people. And personally, as far as your memory is concerned, the things that you heard, you know, how did it affect you in a way that make you make decisions with what you do today?
Yeah, well, you know, Bill, David, I appreciate that question. I appreciate what Bill said. You know, one thing I learned is that words start wars, right? And so I say that to say that, you know, I have become more careful in what I say to other people. And words hurt, man. You know, words, you know, there's nothing worse than emotional pain. You know what I'm saying? I'd give an arm sometimes for some things that I've said and some things that people have said to me that hurt cuttingly, you know? So it's very important that I understand the importance of communication, just like you talked about today, man. And, you know, when it comes to our young people, particularly, how do we communicate? Do we talk with them or do we talk at them? You know, I used to be talked at quite a bit coming up, you know, and that just was the way it was. I was told to do and did what I was told, you know, and is that the way that we have to communicate with our young people today to reach them? You know, a bit of that, I think there's a lot of discipline missing in the way that we do communicate and the way that we do interact, you know, but communication is everything, man, particularly within our community, you know, who we hear and who we listen to in our communications. Like you've got the Black Unity News, you've got Be More News, you got a lot of institutions and a lot of communication vehicles that are becoming credible for us to get the right information. But when it comes to our young people and each other, you know, what do we bring to the table of credibility, man, that allows people to trust what we're saying and that what we're saying isn't cutting? Because as someone said to me just last night, you know, my faith is a result of what I hear. And so that was profound to me in terms of communicating what I hear. So I can't just talk out the side of my neck and just put anything out there and expect, because I think I sound good, that someone's going to go along. And you know what the beauty of it is, or the unfortunate thing is that people aren't always going to tell me that what I said makes no sense. You know, yeah, crazy Mike Haney, man, he's just talking out the side of his neck, man. And I'm going along thinking that what I'm saying makes sense, man. So the bottom line is that when I talk with people, particularly with young people, you know, it's more important for me to communicate by my ears and listening, and not thinking that I know everything. You know what I'm saying? And being led to the point of thinking I know everything by people not communicating with me honestly, man. And so there's a circle of people in my life, and I talked about it last night, the network of people around me. If I had to make a decision, man, that, you know, I can't trust everybody around me if they can't give me the feedback that I honestly need and require. And I had to cut that circle in half. And the closer you are to me, sometimes family, the more less likely you are for me to have you in that circle of trust, man. Because trust is everything, but I've learned that my ears are the most important communication vehicle that I have.
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. And I just want to add this to you that, you know, I truly appreciate what you are doing. And because it's very, I strongly suggest you all listen to Mike's show. Can you tell people when your show come on?
Hey, we have a show every Sunday at 6 p.m. called 60 Minutes in Black America. And the purpose of that show, we have not missed a Sunday in almost 2 years. The purpose of that show is to bring information to communities of people that look like us, man. You know, like you heard last night, Dr. Will Moreland, the week before, Dr. Keith Motley, former chancellor of the University of Massachusetts at Boston. And one thing that most of the guests that I bring on have in common is that they have a desire to improve our community and our people. and that they don't sit on a pedestal thinking so highly about themselves and realize that the work is done on the ground. You know, this coming week at 6 p.m., have a brother out of Boston, Massachusetts, Jamie Miner, and we're talking about financial money and cyber or cryptocurrency, because it's the way of the future, and we don't understand it as a people to realize that the Elon Musk and the white folks are taking finances in a different direction. So we're going to bring some education, give people an opportunity to understand what the new day finances are, and, you know, how do we get into that game?
Okay, I appreciate that, sir. So I strongly suggest you look into, listen to Mike Haney's show, because it's a powerful show with powerful guests on it. And I see we have a young lady, Dr. Lady J. How are you? You have to unmute yourself.
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Let me ask you something, man. You're a lady of communication as well.
Yes, sir.
You're an author, you're a host, and you do quite a bit when it comes to communication. I just brought up the subject today of talking about communication. How does it affect us with each other, with the world, especially with our children? Now, okay. I came up during the time, like Mike was saying, my parents used to talk at me, and they would say, I would ask a question, and they would tell me things like, because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You know, so, and I got in a lot of trouble because of that, because I was so inquisitive. I went out and tried some of them things, you know, and got myself hurt. But it was, my grandparents was the voice of reasoning for me. They would explain things to me. You know, if you go around that corner, this would happen, and this might happen, or that. And then that made sense that I had, well, you know, the possibility. But you chose a field that is, let me just say this, based on the research that I heard, somebody told me about, that we own less than 1% of the media. I'm talking about black melanated people.
Right.
So that means that we have a very small voice, you know, for the whole scheme of things. But yet we still have a voice. And we always will, I believe. But, you know, those of us who are in media or communications, we need to form some kind of network, something, you know, to recognize one another. It's, you know,
right.
Because a lot of, and I can understand that, but, you know, back in the day, a lot of black media was looking at each other more in a competitive sort
right.
of speak thing. And now because of, well, not because it's always been this way, but, you know, it's been brought to the forefront lately about these Kanye West and the basketball player, but the power of media, the power of network, and what people can do to another people because they have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
They control the narrative, so to speak. And
right.
let me ask you, first of all, why did you decide to go on this type of field anyway?
Oh, so the reason I went into it, I fell into it. I actually had three strokes. I was actually a district manager for the Red Cross for years. And I had a stroke, then had another one, then had another one, back to back, 2015, 2016, 2017. And they finally said in 2017, you can't come back to work, you know. And so there I was in the rehab trying to figure out, okay, what do I do now? So I started going online, and I started just, you know, doing my story every day. I was just going there, and I couldn't really talk. I let people hear how I was talking. I let them see that I couldn't walk, and I just did a whole kind of documentary on me, and that turned into me going to, my sister took me on a trip to Vegas. We went to the Stellar Awards, and I was actually in Vegas. That was my first trip after the strokes, and I somehow stumbled into the room where the press was at, and I didn't know it. And I'm in there doing my live again, saying, you know, this is my first time after the stroke. I'm on this trip. And there was a lady in there and a guy, and they thought I was a part of media. So they started talking to me, and I was sharing my story with them and telling them what I was doing. And that was in 2019. And their station is in Phoenix, Arizona. And they offered me a show on the spot. They said,
wow.
You got to come up. So I've been in the medical field 25 years, so I didn't know about radio, show, microphone, whatever. And at the time, my brain hadn't fully healed, so the lady used to be on one side of the screen. I was on the other side of the screen. She was telling me when to do commercials, when to do this, when to do that. So I realized I was good at it because I ended up having the highest rating on the station for my show, and it was a talk show. And then I decided, you know, this is actually working. I got a call from the Now Network because somebody from that network was actually watching me on her show. And they offered me a show on their station. And it was a life coaching show. And so when I left there, I had like 78,000 viewers per episode. You know, they were watching. And I was like, okay, so maybe this is where I'm supposed to be. And then I went in partnership with somebody for a little bit and at a station here in Baltimore. And while I was there, I realized, you know, I just want to do this on my own because I know where I want to go with it. And so last year I decided to launch my magazine and to launch my own and to do it the way I want to do it. And the way I do it is it's a station for us. And this station is for people who can't afford to go to these other radio stations. You can come here. We're still live on Facebook. I got shows going on now while I'm talking to you.
All right.
I got a show going on right now. But, you know, so now people pay for their shows. And it's affordable for them because I didn't want anybody to break the bank. We work as a family, as a team. And, you know, I've just been blessed to just travel all over the place, Mr. Murphy, like meeting people, sitting down with people that I watch on TV. And it just turned into me learning how to network, how to go to places. And I go one place and they pass my cards and information around. And now people pay for me to come and host shows. And the crazy part was that last year and this year, my station was honored on the red carpet at the Stellar Awards. And that's where they found me at, you know? So I decided that this is where God wants me to be. You know, from those strokes, this is where he wants me to be. It's actually growing. And there's some things that we're working on for next year. But the station is doing very well. And the sad part is that social media only wants our people to see foolishness. And so when I first started doing this, it was nothing to sit down and do a show and you get like 10,000 views. Now they cut it to a point where they tell you, okay, you're a station. If you pay us, you know, we'll make sure that they get exposed to everybody. But they show all the other stuff that's on there. You know, and you see people with millions and millions of views. And it's sad because they're teaching our people nothing, you know. Except it's okay to act ignorant, you know, for women to be half-dressed and showing your body. You know, this is what they want to promote. And so on my station, I interview everybody that comes on. I don't take everybody to do a show because my thing is to show that we're at a different level. We're trying to do something different. And I like what the brother said. I can't remember his name that was just talking, but we're working on a show now where we're talking about Black men in their emotional state because Black men were taught not to cry. You know, you get hit for crying when you were little. You know, you're a punk if you cry. So in my field of study and getting my doctorate, I really wanted to study about mental health. Like, where do their feelings go? Where do your feelings go? When if something happens, where do they go? And so we're getting ready to do a show about that, talking to men of various ages, to find out what are you doing with your emotions, because you were taught not to communicate them. You were taught to just hold them in. So we have that coming up soon.
And wow. Go ahead. Okay. So how can people get in touch with you and get on your station or watch or listen to your station?
They can actually I'll give you my phone number first. Everybody has my number because I'm a chaplain also. But the number is 443-297-4753. You can go on Facebook. I'm under Lady J Jenkins, Charlene Lady J. That's my name on Facebook. YouTube is just What Up Baltimore TV. And all of this stuff is on YouTube. And like I said, if you forget anything, you can call my number and I can give you your information.
And also, she's in the National Black Unity News as well.
Yeah.
As Michael Haney is in the National Black Unity News. And as well as Bill Gooden. I see several other people. Brother High Key is on it. But I want to introduce you to his brother, Ross Buki, who comes from Panama. Mm-hmm. Brother Ross, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Good night. Good night, family. Good night. One perfect love. Actually, I'm living in Panama. I'm living located in the west side of Panama. I'm originated from Jamaica. I'm born Jamaican from the Caribbean. I see this the National Black Unity News very important for the time in which we are in, where we are as black people. I will go back to the 1718, you know, that's where the first Jamaican newspaper called the Courant, that's C-O-U-R-A-N-T, Courant, that was the first newspaper made in Jamaica, that was a weekly, coming up weekly, and then afterwards there is a John Bull newspaper that in England. You might wonder why I'm saying this. When you talk about slavery or when you talk about black people, you have to talk about slavery. You can't take that, or you can't go around it. You can't go around. And one of the important tools that they used before the abolishment of slavery was that first newspaper that called the Jamaica Courant. After slavery abolished with the newspaper that make the information go around to all the community for all the big gathering, the big meeting, then the John Bull newspaper came out afterwards, but they were very racist because they were from England and they were very racist, didn't want to get the information out for the black people. So where we are now, here I have a newspaper in my hand. Yeah. It can create history. You could do history. I mean, you're doing history already, but you could create, because we're talking about repatriation. We're talking about reparation and repatriation. And one of the things stopping it is that the information is not getting to our black people. The true knowledge, the true substance, the true information is not, even though we have a lot of internet, a lot of this is that, but the information is still not reaching to our people. And when this happens, it does get worse for our people and our nation. So I just feel like that with the National Black Unity News, if we get the massive of black people listening or reading this newspaper, get a hold of it, and stating the reparation and repatriation within this newspaper, I'm telling you, yes, that's really true redemption and redemption joy at night. And I'm really appreciate this newspaper. I really appreciate David Murphy and Akim. I really appreciate the SRDC. I really appreciate all of you people who are working for African liberty and African freedom. And you're on the right path, and we are all together on the same, in that same oneness, and we are here to support. And I'm going to do all my best to promote and to spread this newspaper around my community here. And I'm also a singer. I am an artist. I do roots music, cultural. I'm a cultural ambassador too. And I'm multifaceted, you know. So I am pretty much just like you all. And we hope for Africa freedom and open for repatriation. That's the Rastaman calling. And I'm not saying that you're in America or we in the Caribbean and I don't want to leave Caribbean. I don't want to leave America. No, that's not. We're that's not the fact here. The fact is that the redemption joy at night, and we have to, it has to come to the reality. And the Black Star Line ship must come and take us back to Africa. Who want to come and who want to stay? And those who stay, it will be a village of African village would remain here. So the whole thing going to be Africa, as it was in the beginning. So I have, that's my little, a few ones who understand what I have just said. And I really appreciate each and every one. It's important. My point is, what I'm trying to make here is that reparation, joy at night. And we're going to use the National Black Unity News to give the information and the call for the reparation and repatriation. And yes, give thanks.
All right, good, thanks, sir. You know, based on Sister Kilo, I'll get right to you. But, you know, I just want to say this. You know, when it comes to communication and us, a lot of progress is being made. You know, because one time we would not even sit down at the table with each other. You know, back in my time, right here in the city of Baltimore, 30, 40 years ago, we had a lot of Black organizations who were supposed to be down for the same cause. But for various reasons, because of ideology, religion, and my way is better than your way, you know, we couldn't get anything done. We let the small things separate us than the 90% of the things that had us together. But today, I think we finally begin to realize that we need one another. You know, all of us in this, you know, we all connected. And so, and we have to open up because we all we got. And we are powerful people. It's just that we just scattered and split it all over the place. But now the forces are drawing together, and I see it in so many different places all over the world. We are coming together. So there is hope that, you know, things are happening, and they will happen. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And we are, you know, like I say, things are coming back full circle.
Brother Murphy, I don't cut you. I have here with me Reverend Kwame from the Caribbean. He's part of the reparation on all what's happening about repatriation. So I invited him to come because, you know, it's good to share information in the province. We're talking about communication. So I invited him on. So he's on there. You can also greet him and he can greet us all. Give thanks.
I will do that. Because I try to get everybody who's on here, I try to give them a shot. Sister Kilolo, you have your hand up?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hello. I like the, what's the name, lady?
Lady J.
Lady, first, I'd like to her to repeat her phone number again so we can talk on, you know, don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but we can have a conversation about what you said about the men and the communication.
Yeah.
Can I get your number one more time?
Yes, it's 443.
Uh-huh.
297.
Uh-huh.
453.
What you say, 45?
4753.
4753. Okay, I'll get back in touch with you on that.
Right.
But can I make a statement about what the Jamaican guy said about Black people? And I think one of the things that separates us is how we classify each other. So I'm wondering if he's a Jamaican or whatever culture people come from, do they call themselves Black or do they call themselves Jamaican? That's the unity, to understand that how people from different nationalities relate to each other by their nationality, not by their color. So that's one thing that need to come together, because we all in the same situation regardless of the nationality. Okay? That's how I feel about it as far as the terminology when we communicate with each other. What was the other conversation? The power comes when we unite. We all powerful, like you said, David, we are all very powerful, but we work better as a fist when we all, you know, agree on one thing. And I'm one of them kind of people, just to let you know where I come from with it. I'm in the background of education plus a lot of other things. But I look at holidays as opportunities. And I see the need, even though people may not worship or celebrate Christmas and the Thanksgiving and those type of holidays because they have become conscious. That does not mean you ain't got to eat the turkey, you ain't got to have a turkey. But those are excellent times to come to the table to communicate with our children and family and let them know where we at and what's our next move, sitting at that table. Some people are vegan, don't even eat meat, but that don't mean we can't sit down and talk to each other about, listen, we're in a crisis situation and we need to be able to have, you know, evacuation plans and be prepared. So when I see the money going in different directions because they don't know what to do with it, I'm thinking in a direction by it being Thanksgiving and Christmas. How about us have some kind of emergency evacuation equipment, selling them backpacks, like the school backpacks, in case they got to, you know, for sake of the weather. You know, we're trying to build unity and power, because as long as we separated and talking to each other, we ain't got no power, nobody listening to us because we ain't got no power. But if it, like you say, when it comes to the voting, if we had power enough to say we ain't going to vote for you unless we get this, it would be a different story. They would listen a little harder, because right now we have not changed. We are still not making no money in the community, because every dollar that comes in Baltimore City especially, somebody speaks another language and they take it home to their family and they do not deposit anything. So I don't know what you call slavery. This may be slavery under another name, because we don't have anything. That's all I got to say. Peace.
Right.
And hello, everybody else.
Yeah, well, I hear you loud and clear, because a lot of us, you know, a lot of people, like I say, they just don't see change, you know, just like we just evolve and just existing.
Right.
But like I say, but there are people, just like you say, on here, they are making moves, they are connecting, and, you know, it took us some time to get in this situation. It will take us some time to get out. But today, that's all I think about today. What happened yesterday was yesterday. We learned from that. We should learn from that. But today, this day, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, I got to look at that man in the mirror, and I do my part. And I strongly suggest that if each one of us do our part, and then it will happen. And Reverend Kwame, can you unmute yourself, sir? And thanks, Sister Kilolo, because she's the lady that wants to get things done.
Absolutely.
So she's tired of talking, so she needs time to get busy.
Absolutely.
All right. Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
Greetings. Greetings.
Greetings.
Mr. Chair, the very illustrious host of this evening's meeting. To be quite honest, my beloved brother out of Panama, out of Jamaica in Ras Abuki was calling me incessantly, maybe two or three times, and I knew it had to be something very important. I was on another conference call dealing with some diplomatic and mission work in the Bahamas at the time, so I couldn't take it. But once I was done with that call, I had to return the call of this beloved brother, because I know if he's calling me that insistently, then it must mean that it's something of great import. And so said, so done. So I'm here, His Excellency, Reverend Kwame Kamau, African Reparations Minister, African Reparations Ambassador. Why African Reparations Minister and Ambassador, someone may be asking? Well, that's a good question. As a young, lean, mean preaching machine, I recognized a long time ago that prayer without and faith without works is dead, being alone. And so I had to redefine and redevelop myself in order to be real, relevant, and riveting to our people. And so by way of environmentalism, as we face a global warming catastrophe, as we engage economics in terms of entrepreneurship, both social and business, operating from the perspective of community empowerment of communities, not only service delivery, the likes of which our beloved sister Kilolos just spoke, the Queen Mother actually, but also in terms of capacity development. It's one thing to deliver a service, it's another thing to develop capacity to be able to do more and to produce more. We've been a consumer class for so long as the governed, and so we need to move into the governing class. And there have been many, Marcus Messiah Garvey, who started the Negro World in 1918. And even before that, there were other publication attempts, but finally got it right with the Negro World. And it, at its peak, we're talking about some 10,000 copies circulated, you know, throughout the world in a time where it took through steamboats and, you know, other methods like that, quite a long time to get your copy. Now we are seeing, and again, communications and media is one of the 12 keystones of Ubuntu, something that I'm also very much involved in as well. And so when we bring all of these disciplines together, the health, the wellness, the communications, the media, the science, the technology, when we bring all of these components together, just like our ancestors did, we find that we can not only create the solutions that we have need of, because many of us create solutions. In Africa, there are two sisters who created an engine that works by way of urine. But who knows that? Enters your publication. There's a brother right now. I am told that he has gone missing. He created a stove that works out of a water tank. And so no, say goodbye to your gas bill. You can run your stove off of water. He's been missing, allegedly. I can't confirm or deny, but it's alarming because many of our people have gone missing for their developments. We create things, but without the right communications and publications network to noise it abroad, and without the research facilities and factories to mass produce it, someone could end up dead or missing, or they can end up suicided. I'm inventing a verb now. I'm a homeschool. I teach education policy and reform, another one of the things that I do. And so many of us have been found in a place where we allegedly committed suicide, but it was not suicide at all. But having a voice, having an agency, makes all of the difference in the world. And so as a Pan-Africanist, as a diplomat, and as a minister operating in the Caribbean, operating on the continent, bringing together people from all walks of life together, I know absolutely that my work, that your work, that the work of everyone in this room would be made all the easier if there is a central platform that we go to in relation to print media. Mm-hmm. And there's no getting around it. It's the absolute fact of the matter. Mm-hmm. So the white world has the New York Times, the LA Times and whatnot and what have you. They have their Forbes and whatnot and their platforms where they can cancel us at will for speaking out of time and turn. Mm-hmm. They have their CNNs, they have their BBC, their ABC, their NBC, and the entire alphabet soup. We need to have ours. And I'm so very proud, and I come on this afternoon to bring my endorsement and to show my solidarity, because again, there are all kinds of best kept secrets happening on the continent and in the diaspora. As a diplomat, operating on both sides of the Ethiopian Ocean. That's the name before it was renamed the Atlantic Ocean. I like to use that name more. Mm. On both sides of the Ethiopian Ocean, I operate in terms of my diplomacy. And I can tell you, there are thousands of acres of land that are available for diasporans, but diasporans don't know it. There are mining opportunities and agricultural opportunities and the development and the building of entire cities that are waiting on the diaspora to come in and to participate in a very vigorous and powerful way, but the diaspora does not know about it. And the game changer, the major difference between them and us, is the fact that while they have a communications network that is very robust, as well as with the communications network, a council, an association that governs their people as one. Marcus Garvey did it, but he wasn't the first. Before him was Henry Sylvester Williams out of Trinidad, the first Pan-African conference in 1900 in England. And then we had many others after him who tried to bring about that kind of world solidarity. Even His Imperial Majesty through the EWF and then later on through the Organization of African Union, which has now become the African Union, with whom I partner through various organizations. But again, these organizations are working at the macro level. Unless you take their policies and their positions and you refine it and make it palatable and you share it with the common man, they are not going to know what happened at the last African Union conference and how it's relevant to them and what it means to them and to their lives and the lives of their children. So again, kudos, commendations on this platform, on this publication. It's not a new one from what I heard. I'm really happy to have made your acquaintance by way of a very brief call recently. And I'm very happy to be on the platform tonight, endorsing you publicly and giving you the guarantee that by way of the organizations that I partner with, by way of my own writing, because I'm a prolific writer, I'm writing a book right now, actually, how I lost religion and found God. It's an Ubuntu tale that takes us right back to Africa and how Africa, minus our modern religions, was able to have a spirituality was twofold. One, a moral compass, and two, a means of engaging in what we call spiritual scientism or spiritual technology. And so with that said, I would land, and I would thank everyone for their time and having listened to this Trinidad and Tobago son of yours, wishing you all the best and looking forward to partnering in very strategic ways. I land there for now.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much. But look, let me just say this. You know, with the National Black Unity News, you know, the base of it is for us and by us. You know, we have a platform where we don't depend on outside sources to sustain us. Unfortunately, that's what happened to a lot of in the United States with our black, but there's over 200 black newspapers. Unfortunately, they tried to mimic the other communication networks, other people's networks, and therefore they outpriced their own community. And we can't even support our own publications because of the price rates and everything else. But then, unfortunately for the papers, though, our communication source, they are kept. When I say kept, you mean they can't save us so much. Because right. They do not want to offend their supporters, they, those who sponsor them. And so therefore, you know, the base of me and Bill set up is that, you know, we will never depend on anybody else to sustain us. We have all we need right here with us right now. We have the entire, just right now, it's just a small group of us on here. And all I did was mention about communication. We got about five or six, seven communication networks on here already. Just a small group of us. And I just want to introduce this brother to you. Brother Vernon, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah.
Now, this brother is also a part of the National Black Unity News. You just heard Lady J say she has a network of stations on a radio program that she has. She's running. And Brother Vernon here has a TV station that he's running. So can you explain a little bit about that, sir?
Yes. Good evening or good night, everyone. Yes, my name is Vernon Streeter. I started a TV station beginning of the pandemic. You know, by the inspiration of God, I didn't think that I would be doing this. Also, a lot of it came through the National Black Unity News because it's, you know, it's Unity TV. So, you know, it's for us, by us. It's created to help us, you know, put ourselves up on our bootstrap, you know. And if anybody would like to, you know, have a conversation with me about it, I'm not going to say too much over these lines. But, you know, if you want to have a conversation with me, I'm very much interested in everyone on the line tonight. If you can put your information in the chat, put your phone numbers in there, The TV station, like the newspaper, is a form of media. So we, like David said, we have it locked down. We have print. We have Baba John. He has a radio station also, Blog Talk. So we have several types of media. We have books, newspapers, radio, TV, podcasts. We have everything. So, you know, we're self-sufficient. Like David was saying, we're not looking for, we're self-supportive. We're not looking for sponsors and all that kind of stuff to, you know, to kind of like cripple us. You know, we won't be bought. But I enjoy everything everyone said this this evening. Anybody have any questions?
All right, brother, I appreciate you. You know that Vernon is one of those people that I consider myself a servant of servants, but I consider him one as well. This brother, he would assist you. He would help you. I've seen this brother get on a bus with equipment and everything, you know, just to get, and he does that from his heart. And, you know, and that's the type of people I deal with, people who are on a mission, people who care about us, you know. Not about dollars and cents, it's the mission, what I'm mostly concerned about. And speaking of mission right now, Dr. Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Can you hear me? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. Now, Dr. McKenzie is a person who is an author. This brother is involved with so many Black groups, organizations, and he also does, I don't know how many, this brother does a multitude of podcasts and he reaches massive amount of people. But he also is our book editor in the National Black Unity News. And he's authored, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 books himself. But, you know, again, books is another form of our communication, as Bill mentioned earlier, how that book affected his life. And so, Dr. Leroy, again, I asked you this question so many times, but I'm going to ask you this again. For those who are on board and those who are on Blog Talk Radio, those who are on
you
Facebook
are unmuted.
Live, if you would recommend some reading to us that would help us get to where we need to go.
Actually, books make a great gift during this time of the year. So, I mean, and there are a number of Black authors that we can and should support. I'll have to, because I'm trying to think of off the top of my head, of some authors, some local authors. And we've had, I would say, the authors that we've had in the showcase. If you go to to our Facebook page, you can go to our YouTube channel and see the authors that we've had a part of the showcase this year. And I would select from them, to be honest with you. We can start there. Brother David, I would say we start there mm-hmm. with any of those authors that are part of the showcase. And each month we have, you know, and but I think what I'm going to do, Brother David, too, is I will post on the on the Facebook page for us to be able to see all four, because it's, of course, since it's only quarterly, the four showcases that we've had this year. Mm-hmm. And those can be a way that people can support those authors during this time of year, which I think is which would be a great way. And then we can actually, as a whole, even the other authors that are in the newspaper, we want to make sure that we emphasize, you know, not only the Black authors that are part of the showcase, that are part of the newspaper, but literacy and how far that can go for people supporting our businesses during this year and during this time of a season or during the season. So I would say that. That'd be the best way to do it.
And also, Dr. McKenzie also assists you with writing books and helping you get started with books, help you publish your books. And so let me just say this. You know, I think I got to everybody by now. And let me just say this in closing. And, you know, I give everybody another chance to speak. But, you know, some say there's a method to what we do. you know, we had to be, my brothers have said, a lot of people come up missing for various reasons. So you have to be very strategic in how we operate and what we say when we operating. And because, like I say, a media is a powerful tool, and some people don't want you to have these weapons of mass communication. Because even me, when I tell you, and there ain't no shame, everybody knows it. I've been under the watch. They watching me right now. I've been watched ever since I started 40-something years ago, just because I have potential to cause an uprising or to influence people. But, you know, it's old saying, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And sometimes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious times, and it's going to take serious people. You know, sometimes you can't always let your left hand know what your right hand doing as well. I hope those who have ears will hear and eyes, they will see what I'm saying. But we need to meet. We need to communicate with each other. We need to support one another. With less than 1% of the media, and I'm talking about all media combined, radio, TV, news, print, everything you think of combined, less than 1%. But because, you know, there's old saying, I don't know, I believe it's true, but you know, one of the first things do in warfare, when people conquer one another, enslave one another, one of the first things they do, they cut off the lines of communication. It's a reason for that. Because if we start reasoning together, putting our heads and our ideas together, then we can almost overthrow anything. And so, but you know, this is, you know, I'm not about overthrowing anything. I'm talking about uplifting us. You know, there's power, all types of power out here. And the power of one and the power of us is one powerful source. We don't have to put down, hurt, pick up guns to kill anybody. Simple things that we can do. First of all, support one another. Do you know the power if we just stop spending for a week or a day or two? Just withhold our own money, how the whole economic system will collapse. That's the type of power that we have. Do you know, like Dr. McKenzie said, there are so many of us who are writing books now. And speaking of writing, there's another tool that we have that we take a couple of people in the National Black Unity News. Vernon is one of them. And myself and one of our brothers, Wayne Randall. We started another service where we do documentaries. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to tell our stories. It's extremely important that we tell our, and each one of us, there is a library, there is a story, a book in each and every one of us. But the point I'm trying to make, my father, I knew of him. I remember being around him, but I don't know who he was, what he thought about, you know, the things he cared about. Nobody, he never told me these things. I don't have a clue. Nobody else told. My grandfather, I have a few pictures of him. I knew he was down on the farm in North Carolina, but that's all I know of him. And his father, I have no clue, period. But I'm saying this now. I don't have no clue who I am, where I come from. I just know I'm here. But today, that can change. That's why it's so important. Even if you just do a video of yourself, tell your story so that your family, see now my children's children and their children, see, they know, they're going to know what I'm about because I already documented me. I'm telling my story. Why, what for, how come, who we are, what we can do. Yeah, I don't want them to hear from outside. So we already got a taste of that ourselves. But look what it done to us. Their story they told about us. Now the time to tell our story, each and every one of us. And when you tell your story, telling your truths, and nobody can tell it the way you can. And it's really no excuse. If you can't do a video, you got people like us who will assist you. But before I go, there's enough. Before I close this down, I'm going to open up one more time. But Brother High Key, how you doing, sir? Brother High Key be working sometimes. This brother here, there, and everywhere, you know, and he's a first responder, too, so he might be working. There you go.
Yes, sir. Greetings, brothers. Yes, yes, I'm at work, but I can chime in just really fast. It's good to see all the other people in here. It's good to see everybody in here. My brother from Panama, it's good to hear you. Good to see you. And Sister Lady J, Brother Vernon, and a few others, everyone else. So I'm looking forward to hopefully next week or something, maybe sharing a little bit more about the Kenya excursion and that we just got back from. So, but and a lot of good other good things. But for those that are in Baltimore, I'll definitely be at the Black Men's Breakfast this Saturday morning. So. Mm-hmm. So I'll just say that, but looking forward to, you know, building, and even tomorrow I'll be back on or something. So, but thank you, Brother David. Thank you for, you know, reaching out.
Okay, I appreciate you, bro. Let me just say this, you know, before we close out, but just give you guys an idea. Now, he just mentioned Saturday. Bill Gooden and I and four other brothers started this program called Black Men Unifying Black Men. And we don't have, I think this one come up, it'd be our 105th or 106th consecutive breakfast since we started. And so many organizations had came from out of this union that we started. All types of organizations, big ones, large ones, and small ones. Locally, national, we don't know how far it went, but we know that we introduced a lot of brothers to each other. In actuality, the National Black Unity News came from out of this union. And so, and then this is just letting you know where the National Black Unity News is going. And now we have a couple of organizations. We have the Arts Social Club is involved with the National Black Unity News, the oldest men's club in the entire nation right now. Then we have the Million Woman March, Empress Chi. She is involved with the paper. Now, her thing is not going to be a national thing. It's going to be an international thing, women's movement. Then we have the National Council of Elders is involved with the publication now. And they're a group of seniors from all over the country, and they're all over the continent and back and forth, just like Brother Haki and Sister Kim. And then there's... there's a few more groups that has joined us recently. And now we're talking to Brother Ross Market, you know, in Panama. We got brothers that's going to join the publication from England that's upcoming. So the paper is swinging international now. We have people like Brother Haki and Sister Kim, Dr. McKenzie, and them have, we all have ties in Africa. You know, God, I mean, all over the place. So the paper is going places that, you know, only God could take it. And what's taking place, and I'm just saying this is just one publication, but this is a collaboration. You obviously, you're only seeing a small group of us on here tonight. And we'll be on tomorrow night. We get to meet some of the other members of the National Black Unity News. But my point is this. Collective, me and Bill sit down one day and just made a decision. Just one decision. He said, Dave, you should start a paper up again. Because that was during the uprising. The people in Baltimore was having a little uprising going around. And so we did. And out of this, you are here. All of y'all are here. Out of this, so many other things coming. Just because of a decision. Now, I'm going to make a strong suggestion. Make some decisions, some positive decisions. My sister, Lady J, said after many strokes, I had a stroke too, sister. I had many, you know, open hearts. I done had so many things that happened to me. But I tell you what. What don't kill you make you stronger, as they say. And think sometimes God has to set us down, slow us down to get our attention sometimes. And I thank God for that you have ears to hear. And you heard that calling, and now you're making a difference. And I'm going to tell you this. Media is such a powerful, powerful tool. And I'm going to share this one story, because I love to tell this story because this is the power of it. One said, Brother Satavi's on here with me right now. He's the guy right now who's doing the, he's opened up for us. Years ago, I'm glad he's doing it. Years ago, I don't know how many years that was. I know about 15, 16, 17 years ago. He and I was working, I had a newspaper called The Informer at the time. And one day, he and I and this other brother, he was a chef, said, we're going to put this dinner together. And we had a young lady here named Barbara Robinson. She's a state senator or something. And at that time, Barbara Robinson was a radio host back in them days for Morgan State University. And every Tuesday, she had a radio show. And And I met her back then, and she started writing in our paper. And in return, she would let me come on her show every first Tuesday of the month and talk about The Informer. And so Brother Satavi and I and this chef said we decided to give her a plaque for the work that she was doing. But at the last minute, the chef backed out on us. So Brother Satavi had cooking skills, so he cooked the dinner. It was at a little rec center in Baltimore. We only had about 25, 30 people in attendance. It wasn't no bright lights and tablecloths or nothing. We just put it on. The food was good, too. But I said something, Satavi said something, and Barbara Robinson said something. We're the only three people that spoke. But several years later, I'm still on the radio with her. This is about 4 or 5 years later. And I still, every Tuesday, I'm still coming on. And then we get this phone call. This young lady called in. She said, Mr. Murphy, Miss Robinson, she said, you don't know who I am. She said, but several years ago, I was walking up the street and somebody invited me into this rec center. She said, y'all fed me. And she said, I heard some powerful words that day. And she went on to say that, she said, I didn't tell anybody, but she said, when I was going up the street, she said, I was contemplating committing suicide. And she just went on to say that she went on and kept on talking, and she said that she had just graduated from college. Now, I'm a big old black man, you know. I get sensitive, and the tears was flowing because if this young lady would have walked up to me today, I wouldn't know who she was, what she looks like. I have no clue. But I do know this, because we did something. We didn't let nobody stop us. Brother Satavi said, I'll cook the food. We didn't stop the program because we didn't let no one person stop us from doing what, you know, we said we were going to do. And because of that decision, a life was saved. Now, I don't know what this young lady doing. She may be paying it forward in a big way. I don't know what she's doing. But I know when somebody does something that has an impact on you in your life like that, you don't forget something like that. So I know she has to be compassionate on somebody else. So what I'm saying to each and every one of you, with your forms of communication, with your networks, we all make a difference in somebody's lives. And we all have touched so many lives since our inception. But, you know, today, if we make some wise decisions, and it does take the village, if we look out for one another, support one another. See, I'm the type of person, Lady J and Dr. McKenzie, hi Carol, I believe all of y'all know, I will work with you, not against you. We need each other. We need all the voices we can get. I ain't talking about equal to playing field. I'm just, this is the beginning of a voice, less than 1%. What is that? Every black newspaper, me and social should be clinging together. Not only for survival, but support one another so we can put out collective information that can enlighten our people. But the buck has to stop somewhere, so it's stopping with me. The doors is open with me, with our communications. And if you care to talk, not here, not now, but we need to talk collectively. And things will be happening, you know, one way or the other. But I just want you to know I appreciate you. And each and every one of us has the power to make to change the world. Each and every one of us, we put our minds to it. And we all interconnected. And so I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for taking time with being with us this evening. And we'll be on tomorrow at 7:30. And anybody else, you know, before I shut it down, anybody,
David,
any parting words?
David, I wanted to say something.
You got, yes, sir. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, they got the State of the Black World Conference coming up April 19th to the 23rd. It's going to be held at the Baltimore Convention Center. It's being done by the Institute of the Black World, IBW2, and I want to play a message from Ron Daniels if I got time. It's a short message.
Okay, well, we're going to keep on top of that, brother. Bill Gooden, you got something?
No, I just want to say, I just want to say thank you.
Hope you had an opportunity to
have
the national town hall meeting.
Sound like you got a television on or something.
That's not me. That's somebody else.
Okay.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody, man, because everybody on here is powerful, right? So, you know, I think one day I hope that we could just have a conversation in terms because because everybody do something different, and we know that everybody need to put the recipe together to make it work.
That's right.
And everybody need to say what they do and how they could support one another, because we all don't do the same thing, right? You know, but if we truly working together and put the recipe together, then we can lift all of us up, right? Because our people is really hurting, right? You know, it's like Dr. J, man. I have so much respect for all y'all. You mentioned Vernon. You know, Vernon doing some magnificent things, right? You know, everybody doing good things, right? But, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to figure out how. I'm a street person. You know, I'm a street soldier. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes we have to find out how we can support one another, because the brothers and sisters in the street is real important, right? And
that's
the
right.
Brothers in the streets have to understand how important people is, like David Murphy and Dr. J and Vernon, people that's got the vehicles to help put the issues out there, right? But we have to put the issues out there for our people that can help to organize our people. And I'm going to just close on this, Dave, because I know it's late. I've been talking about this water issue for a while, right? I could talk about a number of issues, right? But the water issue should be important to all of us, because people shouldn't be paying $300 or $400 a month to have water, right? But I'm saying that's our challenge, man. We got the tools to blow it up to make it a real big issue. You see what I'm saying? Once we make it an issue, then we'll get people out on the street moving the issue. You know, so I'm just saying them the things that I think that at some point we just need to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, agree on the issues that's important to our people and see how all of us can help to make them issues become a blow-up issue, right? Because that's what people need, right? So, you know, like I said, I'm closing, but, you know, I'm upset that people paying $300 or $400 a month for water. That's absolutely mad, man. You know what I mean? That's the most basic resource that a human being needs to live, and to overprice people to have decent water or drinking water. We don't know how many people sit in their house tonight with their waters turned off because they embarrassed to tell somebody, but they can't afford no water. So I'm just saying, them the type of issues I just think that we need to really push once we see that we got them issues and we got the vehicles to push it.
All right, sir. You're 100% right. Anybody else? I see a couple of hands up. Maybe they've been up, but, you know, in closing, anybody?
Yes. Bless that. I want to send a message to the black people of the United States of America. I'm here down in Panama. You must wonder and ask yourself, why so much black organization? Why so much things you all are doing and it's calling black? The reason for that is because repatriation is near. Repatriation is a must. We must go back to our motherland. We must build Africa. That's our business, our own business. Let's go forward. Repatriation. Reparation, repatriation. Give that. Rastafari.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Okay. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for your participation. And just remember, you know, we had just begun. You know, it is our time. You know, we have everything we need. We have everybody we need. We have the resources we need. All we need to sit down and reason together. With that being said, you know what to do. You know what time it is. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night. My phone number is open, 443-455-2373. Again, 443-455-2373. There's still time to get into the National Black Unity News. We have a few pages left. The door is closing soon. And if you have a business or a service and you know that can uplift our people, then you need to call me, because we need you and you need us. And if you have something that can uplift us, then we need to talk. All right. With that being said, thank each and every one of you. And I'm going to bid you a good night. Take care. And in the chat, there's a lot of phone numbers and information. Before I shut it down, you may want to go there and collect some of that data. If not, give me a call later on. Not tonight, but tomorrow. And the old man got to take his nap. All right. Take care. All right. Good night.
Good evening.
Take care of yourself.
thousands upon thousands of people all across the world. In case you missed it, there's a link at the end of this message to that gathering, an opportunity to sit back with your family and friends and watch it. In that town hall meeting, as I close it out, I said, all roads lead to Baltimore, the State of the Black World Conference 5. That's number 5. We've had a series of these. The last one was in Newark in 2016, Washington, D.C. in 2012, New Orleans in 2008. I mean, so we have had these powerful gatherings before. The theme for this conference is Global Africans Rising. That's right, Global Africans Rising, Empowerment, Reparations, and Healing. With your support and engagement, and that of sisters and brothers across the Pan-African world, this will be one of the great gatherings of Black people in the 21st century. That's what we want to make it. The who's who of Black America in the Pan-African world will be there, including presidents and prominent leaders from Africa, the Caribbean, Central and South America. I'm telling you, we are going to have an incredible array of people at this gathering. Our goal is 1,000 people. Actually, we don't want any more than 1,000 people because we want the quality to be good. When we break down into our working sessions, we don't want them to be too good, too big. So therefore, we really, really, really want to get 1,000. We don't want to go over that because we want to really interface with each other, interact with each other in a way that will come out with a powerful, forward-looking agenda. To achieve this goal, I'm asking you to pre-register right now. Sign up today to get updates and regular countdown bulletins. We're going to be sending out information almost every week. And we have like 5 months. We've got about 5 months to go. We really, really want to have you engaged. I'm also asking friends, I hope I got a few friends and allies and supporters out there. I'm asking friends, allies, and supporters to sign up to be friends and advocates for IBW. I'm asking you to help us mobilize and organize to achieve that goal of 1,000 participants for State of Black World Conference 5. That's right. I want you to really, really help us get this done. It's a part of that mission. You know, you read my book, Still on that Journey, The Vision and Mission of Dr. Ron Daniels. This is incredibly important in terms of building out the Institute of the Black World 21st Century as my legacy project. And I don't see that in a personal sense. I'm talking about a formidable engine for global Black empowerment. Again, it will be one of the great gatherings of Black people of the 21st century. Take a moment right now to pre-register and sign up at IBW/SOBWCB. That's IBW/SOBWCB. All roads lead to Baltimore, the State of a Black World Conference 5. I'm really looking forward to seeing